University of Texas at Austin's community-based learning podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by UT's Division of Diversity and Community Engagement. We are your alternating co-hosts, Brianna Davis-Johnson
and Lakia Omagun.
We're both PhD candidates at UT's College of Education, and we promote community-based learning through our work at the Center for Community Engagement.
In this space, we share stories and best practices from UT instructors who connect on-campus learning and research with real-world community projects.
So hi, everyone. I'm Brianna, and today's conversation is with Dr. Christy Loescher from the McCombs School of Business here at UT. Dr. Loescher has taught courses like Strategic Human Resources and Consulting and Change Management, and she has received awards for her service learning courses. We're glad to have you with us today, Dr. Loescher.
Nice to be here.
So first off, could you just tell us about one of your most recent service learning courses that you really enjoy teaching?
Sure. So I teach healthcare systems management for undergraduate students seeking a Business of Healthcare certificate. And in that course, the students do a service learning project in healthcare, mostly in Austin, but we also work with charity clinics across Central Texas. Mm-hmm. And so this semester, I've got 14 projects going, several with Dell Seton Medical Center, a couple with the Dell Medical School Surgery Department. I have one at Seton, Maine, downtown. Oh. I have one at Dell Children's. And then we're working with the Kind Clinic. We're working with Hope Clinic. We're working with a clinic up in Temple.
Oh, wow.
And these projects are transformative because they allow students to work on a business issue within a clinical setting. And they can see how the business side, understanding the business side, is as important as understanding the clinical side. Most of my students are pre-health professionals, and they've wisely chosen to learn a little bit about how the industry runs, not just about clinical medicine, but also about the business side.
Mm-hmm.
And students find that this really helps differentiate them from other candidates for medical school and other health professions. And it also gives them insight. I've had several students change their career path based on their project and seeing how important the business side is. And they've decided that they can make more of an impact working in administration than they can working in clinical medicine.
Oh, fascinating.
So that's been very rewarding that people have been able to find a path that fits their passions.
Mm-hmm. And what's an example of one of the projects that stands out to you?
So actually, one of the projects that stands out to me the most is one we've had reoccurring now for the last three or four semesters. I have a team of students that work with the Infection Control Department at Dell Seton Medical Center to do hand washing observation. And by watching, they do surreptitious watching to see if people are washing their hands before they go into a room. And this is a very large infection control measure that's required by organizations, and organizations are required to maintain quality, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's, again, part of the clinical business side is doing the measurement, evaluation, training, teaching of how to keep a clean and high-quality environment. And so my students have been helping Dell Seton Medical Center do that for the last couple of years.
Oh, wow. That sounds really interesting.
And another really interesting project that's sparked a follow-up project was I had a team last fall work with Dell Medical School, the residency program, to redesign their evaluation form for residents.
Oh, wow.
So that's in my HR class, if there's a healthcare project that relates to HR, I usually can pull together a team that's interested in working on it. And they completely redesigned how residents are evaluated based on what they learned in class about state-of-the-art evaluation methods. And they're using the new format and the new forms today.
Wow.
So that was very rewarding. And that's sparked some other performance measurement projects. We have one going on this semester at the Kind Clinic.
Okay.
And so I have students working on redesigning performance measurement for them.
Wow. So it sounds like it's clear that the projects are not only beneficial for the students and their learning, but also for the organizations and the community partners.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. I now have over 21 community partners in healthcare.
Wow.
And I'm going to, talked about that I teach consulting and change management. That's actually going to be a new class for me that I'll teach for the first time in the spring.
Okay.
And I'll use service learning in that class as well. And it won't be as focused on healthcare. I probably will have a healthcare, you know, project or two for anybody who's interested, because I always have more projects than I can staff. But I'm going to let students focus more on any kind of business that interests them, because that will be a class for more general business students.
Okay.
And so when I teach a class like that, I let students have input into what kind of industry they're interested in working with. And then I give them resources to identify a client. And I find that this process of community service learning creates a connection, you know, town and gown, so to speak. You know, it creates this connection with the community, and the community really realizes what a benefit it is to have a top-tier university in town and free labor that can help them with projects that can really make a difference to the organization.
And what are one or two tips and tricks that you've found to be successful for finding these community partners and maintaining those relationships with them over time?
So I do a lot of follow-up.
Okay.
So every client fills out an evaluation form of their experience and gives me feedback on what went well, what didn't go well. I will typically meet with a new client face-to-face and create a personal relationship. And then I find that this follow-up gives me a perfect opportunity to then say, okay, what do you want to work on next? And so... And not every client has a project every semester.
Okay.
But by meeting with them and meeting them face-to-face at least once, then follow-up can mostly be done by email. And again, some of my clients, I meet another great way to find clients is I speak at conferences.
Oh, okay.
And so I spoke at the Texas Charity Clinics annual Texas Charity Clinics Association annual conference last year. I got six new clients.
Wow.
So that's a great way of identifying people who want to work with you. It's just going out in the community and talking to them. I've also spoken at, been a speaker for Society for Human Resource Management events, local ones. And that's also helped me find clients. So if, whatever your discipline is, finding the local organization, local professional organization really helps. And I think also using the Longhorn Network, using alumni. I speak at alumni events and you know, people say, you know, why do you do that? You know, you don't get paid. And I'm like, oh, I find clients. That's why I go and speak in these, in, you know, to these lunches and stuff.
Right.
Is because it helps me make connections with the community. And fellow Longhorns are particularly, or alum, ex, you know, Texas X's are particularly helpful clients because they're really invested in wanting the students to succeed and learn.
Right, right. So is there an example of a challenge that comes to mind, something that has come up in, you know, either designing a course or with a project, and how did you overcome that?
Sure. So service learning by its definition is real life, and real life stuff happens. And I've had situations where a client has left the organization either right before the project started or right when the project started, and we've had to basically change clients right at the beginning. So I always have a couple of projects in the hole, so to speak, in case something like that happens. One time, more than once, a couple of times, something like that where we've really lost our internal champion for the project within the client company. Has happened a couple of times in the middle of a project, and oftentimes nobody's willing to pick it up midstream, and so I've become the client.
I see.
And that's probably the thing that I think scares professors the most is, well, what happens if this doesn't work? And what I find is that just relax, you know, because worst case, you can turn it into a just a regular research project.
Right.
And you, the professor, becomes the client.
Right.
And you can use the same ideas that you were, that you start with, you know, if whatever the team's working on with that particular client, you can keep going with that, but just you become the client. And that means that the students are held harmless. I had a situation this semester where the team was working with some surgeons at Dell Medical School, and the surgeons wanted to be able to publish the results of the report, which means we had to go through IRB approval. Well, it's November, and IRB approval came in last week. We've got 4 weeks left before presentations. And so the students are really having to scramble, but we talk, so they let me know, and I check in with my teams. I allow them to meet once a week in class for about 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
And I've carved out that time, and I find that's invaluable for keeping in touch with my teams and what's going on and what problems they're having. And I just kind of circle around the room. And when I found out this team was really struggling to get to their data collection part of their project because of this IRB delay, I said, all right, let's look at everything you can do besides that data collection so that when you get to that point, that's the only thing you have to do and the rest of your project's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done. So they'll be able to gather their data over the next couple of weeks and then still be able to finish their project on time. So a lot of it, you just have to be willing to, you know, go with the punches and realize it's real life and stay calm for the students and just help them understand that you're not going to punish them for something that happens that's outside of their control. And I think that's key to doing community service of any kind, but specifically at this scale where I'm running, you know, 14, 15 teams a semester.
Wow.
And in the spring, it'll be, you know, probably another six more.
Wow. And is that you?
20 teams.
Wow. Is that you individually or do you have a TA team that works with you? And
I do not.
Okay.
I find that, and this is something that professors have to be aware of, right? So I find it very difficult to write rubrics because every single project is different.
Mm.
And so what I do is I push all the individual project and exam grading on my TA and trust the TA to do that. And then I grade all the team stuff because it's very difficult to write a rubric. And I've got, you know, 30 years of management experience. So, you know, it's you can't recreate that in terms of guiding teams and giving people advice. So I don't rely on my TA for any of my team stuff, but I really rely on them heavily to carry the load on everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, my exams, I don't read them. Mm-hmm. I only read the ones that the TA is having trouble with. And then I trust the TA and the kids have to go to the TA for feedback on their exams. And that's the trade-off, right? You really have to give up control over part of your class to be able to do this well. Because this is not a rubric situation in most cases.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. Thank you for laying that out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for our final question, if there was someone that's listening and they would like to get in touch with you just to hear more about your process, what's the best way for someone to reach out to you?
Oh, I'm very easy to reach by email.
Okay.
So christy.losher@macombs.utexas.edu. And I'm happy to share assignment instructions. I'm happy to let somebody look at my Canvas site and see how I have that set up. And I'm very willing to make sure that I'm willing to mentor somebody through this the first time.
Wow.
Because it can be daunting because it is real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that preparing the students, having a good, solid peer evaluation process, holds the students accountable to each other, having a solid client evaluation process where the students know they're going to be held accountable for their behaviors and their deliverables to the client, and just reinforcing that this is not just for school. This is a real project, and real people and real processes are depending on you. And most students, I've found, rise to the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I'll have a team that doesn't. And then I work on client repairing that client relationship and convincing them to give us another chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to be 100% on either side. The clients aren't always going to be great and the kids aren't always going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that is a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 90%+ of the time, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so I'm willing to deal with the 10% of icky.
Sure.
You know, for 90% awesome.
Sure. Sure. Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you speaking with us here on The Bridge. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge podcast, produced by the Center for Community Engagement under the Division of Diversity and Community Engagement at UT Austin.
Stay connected with us at utcce.org/podcast, where you'll find more community-based learning resources. See you next time.